We now return to Superman number 298. This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM, the University of Winnipeg. Earthling criminals are certainly a nuisance. No wonder Superman's career has been so preoccupied with them. And they die so loudly, so loud. Very little dignity. Very little. Except for some minor interruptions, my preparations are coming along as planned. I have nearly completed the weapon to carry out my 30-year-old assignment to eliminate Earth. As Superman crisscrosses the sky aimlessly, putting out bushfires and filling his mind with his own personal problems, his world careens down the road to extinction. And across the hours of imminent destruction, an unweary man of steel leads his talent. He lends his talents. Okay, you got Superman, and he's pulling a whole locomotive train with one arm. And there's a building that's about to fall over, and he's pushing it up. Keeping it up. To avert crisis after crisis, disaster after disaster, at a speed as exhilarating as it is maddening. Superman is also, he's also destroying something. He's diving through. He's taking care of an iceberg before a big cruiser ship crashes into it. Pretty good. All right. Excellent. To every man comes the urge to rest. But does every man have that privilege? Superman flies through a window. He's at the WGBS Galaxy building. Hey, Jimmy boy! I've got this problem and I have to unwind, so... Superman! I hope you better got a better... Superman, I hope you've got a better reason than that for leaving Metropolis wide open to that Solar Man nut!
Better reason?
There's a super lunatic running around the city! With this expensive hobby of robbery. And you're unwinding? He's stealing everything!
But I have as much right to...
That's the thing! This thing! Things that all everyone's talking about! You listen here! Listen to this radio report!
the costume bandit called Solar Man still hovers over the city square, challenging Superman to arrest them for yesterday's robbery.
I mean, why don't you go where you usually go to figure out these super solutions of yours? Why?
I usually come here to my friends, but as Clark Kent, whose company I'm beginning to miss, people expect so much of a Superman. So much. Expect so much.
What is there left to do, then, but to answer a challenge?
Solar Man is standing on top of a large statue of Superman. Superman arrives on the scene. He flies right in there.
Superman! Certainly took you long enough! Don't you read your own press releases? They say you're faster than a speeding bullet! Than a speeding bullet, but you look more like, to me, like a dive-bombing pop gun! Hey, pop gun!
Alright, Solar Man uses these rays out of his hand while shooting at a flying Superman, and it causes them to go in a different direction.
Oof! He altered my course of flight by some sort of mind over matter.
I've got you to thank for my inspiration, old man. I thought that since you get your powers from the yellow sun, some research would allow me to do the same. With the help of my remarkable solar receptors all around my chest. My remarkable solar receptors.
Solar Man jumps on top of the shoulders of Superman, sending him kind of into the ground. Superman thinks to himself,
the longer this clown talks, the less likely he'll be to use the energy he wastes boasting against me.
Superman does a jumping up kick and he kicks Solar Man right in the chest. Now, Superman grabs Solar Man by the legs.
Now, if I'm lucky, he's stunned enough for me to grab him in a wrestling hold.
I gotcha, Superman, gotcha. I don't roll over that easily. I was always too smart to be some two-bit crook, you know.
Solar Man hits Superman really hard and sends Superman flying into the sky.
The only way to make it in the big time crime these days is to have power to start off with. My power is the same solar power that made you the top dog in the hero game. Same that's going to do you in and make me the biggest name in crime!
Superman flies off into the air some more.
This is a bigger rush than I had imagined! This is a bigger rush than I had imagined! And I'm getting stronger and stronger all the time! Another of my dreams was to be a big football star. Ever been the butt of a kickoff, old man?
Solar Man kicks Superman. He kicks him. He flies off.
Actually, sometimes I sort of thought I was a Louisville Slugger type.
Solar Man takes these, construction work equipment, steel beams, and hits Superman with it. He's hitting him all over. He's just beating the crap out of him.
Hey there, Supes. Gonna take your marbles and go home now? Admit it, Hero Man. You're dealing with a flying solar dynamo. What's going on here? What's with my suit? It's been burning up. What's going on? My solar receptors! They're smoldering like a campfire! I'm in big trouble! I'm in big trouble! Help me, Superman! Help me! Superman, save me! I didn't really mean any harm, right?
Keep your head, Hotshot.
I mean, you know all along it was a joke, right? It's a joke.
Superman rips off this suit that Solar Man was wearing.
Now, how about telling how your crimes are a joke to a judge, a court judge?
And then he throws Solar Man's costume into the air, and Superman uses his X-ray vision. All right.
This should put a stop to the job. This should finish the job up. I had to take that beating because my only hope to beat Solar Man was to make him stronger by causing a power overload to his receptors, the result of being constantly bombarded by invisible rays. Always be bombarded by invisible rays of my heat vision, which duplicated the effects of the sun's infrared radiation. If there's one thing my encounter today proved to me, it's that as long as there are power-mad men like this clown around,
The world will always need a Superman. And now, I have concluded whose life is more important to me. That of Superman or Clark Kent? I'll do what I must.
At that precise instant, in the apartment registered to the name of Clark Kent. Your observations confirm that you have performed your duties well, Agent Xavier. When you receive our signal, Superman's home will be triggered into a device for the assassination of planet Earth. Trigger the device for the assassination of planet Earth.
What will it be for the Man of Steel? An ordinary life as Clark Kent or an extraordinary life as Superman? And what will it be for Earth? Life or death? Be here next issue for the stupendous conclusion of the Double or Nothing Life of Superman. See you next issue. There we go. All right.
Join us for another episode of Comic Book Radio Theater here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
All right. You have just listened to a reading of Superman, number 298, printed April, the year 1976. We got to be.
this is Ella.
This is Kaya.
And this is Meg, and we're Plum Vision.
And you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg.
Thank you.
la, 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 la.
And you will get a lot of la, 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 la out of this radio show.
Comic book, radio, theater!
If you've joined us late, or you've joined us for the very first time ever, this is the radio show. I read you comic books. Got a bunch of new music coming at you as well. Classic music from yesteryear as well as too. Okay, well, we get music and you get a reading of a comic book right to your face. And I said before, our theme tonight is changing a costume, changing your clothing, changing your personality. You get into a new disguise, you got a new identity. That is the theme of tonight's radio program. All right, what should I read you next? I will read you something from an independent comic book. This is a drawn in black and white. It's an independent comic book, not Marvel, not DC Comics, independent comic book. Put out there back in, when was this put out there back in? I believe February of 1990. I will read to you The Trouble with Girls, number 12. It's a detective kind of super spy kind of tale. We also have a pushy news person. She's a news reporter, and she's really pushy and aggressive with her job and everything. She wants to get away, and so does this spy detective named Lester Girls. He wants to get away as well. So, and they do, not to spoil things for you, but they do fall in love. The man and the woman fall in love, but they go through all these crazy costume changes midway and while the romance is going on. Just crazy costume changes all around. And you'll get that when I read to you The Trouble with Girls, number 12, printed and published in February of 1980. And when I go off for my first vocal break, we'll listen to The Cramps as well. Primus playing live in Buffalo, New York. We'll listen to them. So The Cramps and Primus, both those bands had new offerings, new releases out to the public, into the world of music back in February of 1990. Same time as our comic book hit the shelves as well. All right, got all that explained off to you. Let me think something else here. You know what? Let's check out this band. They're from Vancouver, BC. They're called Red Circle. We'll check them out. And that's how we'll get into this next reading on Comic Book Radio Theater. All right. Get psyched up. It's middle of the night. Come on. It's like past 3:30 in the morning. Just get psyched up, or at least I will. All right. Back to my keyboard to read you more comic books. Back to my little fingers pressing go on a button to play you more music. That's how we work it here. CKUW 95.9 FM, the late night radio. Thank you for joining us this Saturday night. I'm your host, Martin R. Howell. Let's get going. The 95.9 FM. We do this from the University of Winnipeg. Thanks for listening. Thanks.
My feedback on the campus community radio at its finest. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM.
With Comic Book Radio Theater for this week. It is The Trouble with Girls, number 12, from February of 1990. Dean Howells, where the heck are you guys? Oh, there you are. You can come out now. It's safe. It's safe for the time being. Boy, some watchdogs you two turned out to be. But can I really blame the poor dogs for hiding? An occasional all-out attack on my life is one thing, but 42 times in 1 week? Damn stockbrokers. Just because I refuse to invest my money, they all get together and hire an army of torpedoes to rub me out. I guess they figure they can get my hairs to play ball once I'm 6 feet under. Those scoundrels! I may be used to this sort of thing, but it's just not fair to the mutts, not to mention my innocent friends. Just the other day, they blew up one of Ted's Lazy Boy chairs when I dropped in for a visit. Good thing I was able to smother the blast with my body. What am I gonna do about this? Go away until this thing all blows over? Take a little vacation, right? Why not? Why not? I could fly down to Mexico and get some sun for a change. Hell, but what would stop the assassins from following me down south? I'd hate to be responsible for some peaceful village getting terrorized. Wait a minute. I know what I could do. I could go down to Mexico incognito. Sure. I'm a master of disguise. A new Lester Girls. Why, with just the right touches, I can make it so that not even my own blood brother would recognize me. Genius! Meanwhile, in New York, New York, at Maxie Scoop's two-bedroom apartment that she shares with her roommate.
Anyone home? Hi, Lucy. Jesus, roommate, don't you ever go out? What kind of life is this for a lovely bachelorette like you? But nothing. If you're not out chasing some stupid story, you're cooped up in here. How do you ever expect to meet any guys? But hush up. The only guys you ever meet are the sort of riffraff you encounter on your job. Convicts, terrorists, ex-Nazis, politicians, not to mention that giant buffoon Lester Girls. Sometimes I think you're afraid of men, Maxie Scoops. What you need is a change, honey, a little vacation. Maybe you need to loosen up and get interested in a guy just because he's a nice guy. Not because he'd make a big story. You hear what I'm saying? I wonder. It just so happens I go abroad on a routine undercover money laundering investigation tomorrow. And they owe me a shitload of vacation time at the newspaper. There you go! Turn it into a swinging vacation! You know, I think you talked me into it, roommate.
Lester Girls drives into the property of the Big Dick Spread Ranch. He's driving towards Apache Dick, who is dressed as a Native American chief riding on a horseback. Who the hell would come visit me driving a bug?
Excuse me, sir. I lost my way. Could you tell me how to get to the beach?
Yeah, sure. Just aim your car at that big blue body of water over there.
Hot dog! I knew this clever get up would fool him.
Lester Girls gets back into his Volkswagen Bug and drives away from Big Dick Spread Ranch in his new disguise, a disguise of only horn-rimmed eyeglasses.
Master of disguise knows it's the simple little touches that do the trick. A slight alteration of voice, mannerisms, facial expressions. Yes, sir. It takes a master psychologist to pull off a brilliant disguise. And now, for one more test of its effectiveness.
Lester Girls, in his disguise, approaches a group of young people playing a game of beach volleyball.
Well, how about that? Normally, Oldie's Beach Babe would be all over me. But they don't even know that I exist.
Lester Girls, unfortunately, stands too close to the beach volleyball net. A player leaps and comes far too close to him.
Hey, dude, watch out! Oof.
Lester Girls, disguise, falls from him! He is now exposed. Uh-oh.
Woohoo! Beach blanket bingo! Off with his pants! Off with his pants! Get him, get him! Off with his pants!
Ladies! Ladies! Ladies!
Look, it's him!
Damn! One of those beach boys turned out to be a torpedo! I better make darn sure those eyeglasses stay on before I leave for Mexico! In Mexico? Other than a refuge from the mess back home. Except for the fine weather, Mexico isn't my cup of tea.
Oh, sure, the country seems sleepy and peaceful on the surface, but underneath, that's quite the other matter. If you glance into any cantina, duck into any gambling joint, and who do you see? Soldiers of fortune. Exiled American gangsters. Cheap punks on the lam. And down at the heels, private dicks on the trail of voluptuous wayward dames. With all quaint villages and jolly mariachi bands and weathered churches. Yeah, it's all those things, all right. But it's also a keg of dynamite. A live volcano waiting to spew a hot flood of mayhem over the dusty, sun-blinded streets. My disguise effectively shields me from undesirable elements. So, I wasn't really too worried about getting involved in any racy, colorful adventure. I walked into a bar and ordered myself a drink.
Give me a near beer.
But don't ask me what. I wasn't even certain that it would be something bad. Only that I was rushing blindly into a head-on collision with some kind of destiny. Then I saw her. She came out of the sun. Oh my God. She's beautiful. Maybe you don't believe in love at first sight. Well, I hadn't either until I read some James M. Cain novels. I can't explain it exactly. Maybe you ought to try reading the books yourself. Mysterious angel right smack dab in your lap. Oh, crap.
May I join you? you. Maybe for a drink. Maybe for a lifetime.
Get lost, creep. Wait. Wait. I didn't mean that. Come back. I have to leave now. But I'd, can I see you later?
Baby, you can see me anytime you want.
Do you know that stretch of beach at the edge of town? Where the old boat sits on the sand. Meet me there.
When?
When the moon's out.
This strange woman turns to go away out of the bar.
Wait! I don't even know your name!
My name? My name is Minnie Leeds. What's yours?
I'm Leroy Gals!
Listening to a reading of The Trouble with Girls, number 12, February, the year 1990.
Remember this. Everything that you have ever experienced in your entire life has brought you to this instant. All things now are possible in the limitless void of counter-actuality. All things, too, that are knowable will be realized in this new dimension of bikini girls with machine guns.